Hey, you can be seated tonight. Welcome everybody, those of you who are joining us around the state of Mississippi or wherever you are online. We're worshiping in this house tonight, and we're not shifting from worship now to teaching and prayer. Hey, this is all one thing. Worship is prayer. Worship is declaration of the truth of God. And so we're just continuing in that vein tonight. We learned this past Sunday a little bit about prayer. We're talking about it, that prayer is less something that you do out of desperation, right? A Hail Mary pass, a long distance collect call to a stranger. It's supposed to be less than that, and more devotion, more conversation between intimate friends that you know God, you walk with God, you talk with God all the time. And so that's what prayer at its heart should become. It's about your connection to God. It's not about the extrinsic motivation. Hey, God, I need something. Come through for me so that my life's easier or better, or everybody in my world is doing okay. It's less about the extrinsic motivation. It's more about the intrinsic motivation of God. I just want you. I just want to be with you. I just want your nearness to me. Now, here's the deal. If we're going to enjoy being with God, if it's going to be more delight than it is duty, it makes sense that you would need to know this God you're talking to. Does that make sense to you? We ought to know who he is. We ought to know something about this God. Now, last week we learned one of the names of God. The first one actually mentioned in the book of Genesis is the word Elohim. It just means a generic term for God. It's actually plural, Father, Son, and Spirit, all represented in that, that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, that God made it all, owns it all, can do anything with it all, so you can ask him with confidence. That's what we learned last week. You can ask him for anything. Now, this week, we're going to go the opposite direction. Rather than kind of the generic, general name for God, we're going to learn tonight about a very specific, personal name that God revealed himself by, and that name is Yahweh. Now, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, because in the Hebrew text, it's all consonants, Y-H-W-H. We don't know if there are any vowels to it. There weren't in the original text, but that's what we would say. Now, sometimes that word is translated in your Bible as Lord, but it's in all caps. When it's this word Yahweh, it's always in all caps, distinguishing between another Hebrew word for Lord. This word is a very personal name for God, okay? And so we're going to talk about this name, this name tonight. It's Yahweh, and it comes from the verb to be. So here's what it literally means. Here's what God says his name is. His name is I Am. I Am. And we're going to see the significance of that in just a few moments. This name of God is God's sacred name. Okay, now I'm saying the word Yahweh, but you need to know that a lot of people for years and years and years, hundreds of years, they would have dared not even try to say the name for fear of mispronouncing it. Somewhere around the 3rd century AD, from what I can gather in studying up on this a little bit, people began to take the third commandment of don't take the Lord's name in vain. They began to apply it to this name Yahweh, and so they wouldn't say the name for fear of mispronouncing it. So what they did was they took the vowels from the other word that means Lord, Adonai, and they took those vowels and added them to the consonants of the word, what I'm saying is Yahweh, I Am, and they came up with a new word. Ultimately, eventually, for a long time, they wouldn't even say the word Yahweh, but around the 16th century, now check this out, y'all are learning something. Y'all don't even know you're learning something. This is how crazy this is. You're about to learn something. In the 16th century, they took the vowels from Adonai, added them to the consonants in Yahweh, and we came up with the word Jehovah. And you're like, oh, wait up, but you better back up, preacher. I'm just telling you that the word Jehovah is not in the Hebrew text, and so I'm not hating on anybody, and we sing songs with Jehovah's name in it all the time. Keep on singing them, all right? Because I don't know if I'm saying it right either, so say Jehovah. Who knows if we're saying it right or not? It's not the point. The point is who we're calling out to. It's a sacred name is what I'm trying to tell you. It's a sacred name that we need to have a holiness about whenever we approach God. It's a sacred name, but it's also a personal name. It's the name that God introduced himself to Moses by. Y'all remember whenever Moses was in the wilderness and he saw the burning bush and he stops and goes to see it, and God begins to say to him, hey man, you're gonna go back to Egypt and you're gonna, you know, I'm gonna use you to set my people free. And so Moses says to him, I don't even know your name. Who am I gonna tell him? Exodus 3 verse 13 says, then Moses said to God, behold, I'm gonna go to the sons of Israel and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, this you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. Now this name, Yahweh, is used 5,321 times in the Old Testament. All right, this is God's personal name. If you were calling him, you'd say, hey, Yahweh. Right? It's his personal, it's his name. Now, God's got lots of names. We're going to learn lots of names, but this is his holy name. This is his personal name that he reveals himself. He says, I am. I am what? I am that I am. Meaning that God is self-existent. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anybody else. And it's his name forever and ever. God is. But it's also God's covenant-keeping name. Okay? A few chapters later in Exodus, here's what the Bible says. Exodus 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Moses had gone to Pharaoh and said, hey, man, God said, let his people go. Pharaoh's thinking, I ain't going to do that. And so they go back and forth a few times, and now this is what God says. You're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion, he will let them go. And under compulsion, he will drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, there's his name, Yahweh, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I didn't make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. Furthermore, I heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I've remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I'm going to take you from my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am. Okay, here's the significance of that. God had made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and said, I'm going to give you that land. But he didn't reveal himself as this personal name, as Yahweh, I am. But when it came time to fulfill that covenant, for his people to possess that land, he said, I am is now on the scene. Now, I am what? Well, who was he? I'm your redeemer. I'm your deliverer. I'm your way maker. On their journey, anything they need, God is going to provide. He's revealing himself the whole time they're on this journey. And maybe you know some of the names of God. Yahweh, Yireh, God's our provider. Yahweh, Rapha, God is our healer. Yahweh, Shalom, God is our peace, right? That's who he becomes. Whatever they needed, God was. And so it is with you and me. Here's where I want this to become personal for you. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what your life's like, but God says to you right now, I am. And he wants you to get to know him as the one who is present and here and able. I am. I am what? What do you need? God says, I am. Whatever you need. In this journey, this life God's called you to, God says, I am. He's whatever you need. Now, here's where I'd like to kind of turn this a little bit for us before we pray this name back to God. We've been talking about the name Yahweh in the Old Testament, but what about in the New Testament? In the New Testament, John wrote his gospel to convince people that Jesus was God among us. Y'all remember that? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of God. And the religious leaders could not wrap their heads around that God had become one of us. And they argued with Jesus all the time about that can't really be who you are. And one of those times is in John chapter 8. And Jesus is saying to him, it's who I am. And they won't believe it. And he says, well, y'all are just liars because you're speaking your native tongue if you're following the devil. Y'all remember that? Right? And they're saying to Jesus, well, you're a Samaritan and you got a demon. Right, so it's a back and forth. And in that back and forth, here's what Jesus says in John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, dude, you're not 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, what? Read it. How do you think they heard that? Hey, it's not proper English. So they didn't say, hey man, you're supposed to say, I was. That's not what, he says, I am. What is he invoking? He is saying, Yahweh's here. And so they pick up stones, they're gonna kill him. That's not gonna happen. But they are clear that the Yahweh covenant-keeping, faithful, sacred God, the personal God of the Old Testament, has become one of us. Now, in our culture, we kind of say, yeah. But I want you to hear, would you stop for a moment and recognize that the covenant-keeping God of heaven came to earth for you and for me to show you what God is really ultimately like. And through John's gospel, there are seven times whenever he says, I am. And that's really what I want you to wrap your heart around tonight and begin to claim in your personal relationship with God. This is gonna affect how you pray, okay? This is gonna affect how you pray for your P28, but please hear me, the heart of prayer is connection with God, not to get the answer, okay? And so Jesus says, I am whatever you need. I'm whatever you need. One of the first places where he says, I am what you need, he says, I am your satisfaction for your soul. Jesus had fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men and their families, and that was a big deal, right? I mean, it's free food for everybody, and they loved it, and so now Jesus can't get away from them, and they're following him around everywhere, and what they want is for him to give them more food. Hey, Moses gave us food, you give us food. And so what are they wanting? They're wanting him to satisfy their physical need, their physical desire for food. Maybe they don't have much. And so now, man, here's the gravy train, here's the free food. So we're gonna go to Jesus and he's gonna give us free food. And Jesus says, I'm coming to give you to satisfy a deeper need. I didn't come to satisfy your hunger of your stomach. I came to satisfy the hunger of your soul. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. What is he saying? What he's saying to you is there's a God-shaped vacuum in all of our hearts that only Christ can fill. Proverbs says the eyes of a man are never satisfied. What you need is not more stuff. Your desires and longing are like a bottomless pit. You can't have enough fun, pleasure, power, or whatever. The rich young ruler came to Christ empty. And what Christ is saying is what he longs to do is not answer your prayer. He longs to fill your soul. And so if I'm talking to anybody out there who feels empty in the midst of this, and that's really what you need. What you need is not another job, not another mate, not another date, not another thing. What you really may need to do is say, Jesus, would you be the satisfier of my soul? You are my spiritual bread. He also says that he is your light in dark times. One of the themes in John's gospel is darkness and light. The light came and shined in the darkness, but the darkness couldn't comprehend it. It says in John chapter 1. This world is characterized in John's gospel as a dark place. Is it still? Come on, anybody listening? Is it still? It is a dark place. It's a treacherous place. It's a wicked place. And into the darkness, Jesus shines as light to drive out the darkness. Now, you may be living in a very dark place personally, just on the inside, circumstantially, it may be dark, and Jesus is saying to you, I am your light. I'm your light. Now, he spoke these words in a part of the temple where there was a light, a flame, that represented the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, where they really leaned on the presence of God, the protection of God, and the guidance of God. And so what Jesus says in this moment, he says, actually, I am the light of the world. I am the very presence of God. I am the very protection of God. I am the very guidance of God. John 8:12, Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. just like the sun comes up every day and the darkness can't stop it. Come on, where are my deer hunters at, my duck hunters at, my turkey hunters at? We sit there in the pitch black dark thinking, hurry up, they're out there, I hear them. I just can't see them, and you're wanting the sun to hurry up, and you're not going to hurry it up. But you can't stop it either. If you walk into a dark room and you don't know where anything is, but you turn on that light, now everything is exposed. And you can see to make your way through. Think about a ship out on the sea and he can't see the shoreline and it's treacherous and dangerous, but there's a lighthouse that guides. I don't need to see anything. I just need to focus on the light. That's what Jesus is saying to you right now. You may be asking for all kinds of answers and all kinds of stuff. And Jesus says, keep your eyes on me. Let me be your light. In the midst of your darkness, just focus on me. I am your light in the midst of darkness. He says, I am your safe place. John 10, verse 7, Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So he says, I'm the door. He's your safe place. And here's why that's significant. He's talking to the people in and around the temple, and he's really talking about to the people whom he would call sheep. And he's going to call out the shepherds who are not good men in just a few verses. But what he's saying to the sheep is, hey, I'm your place of safety. Now, we don't live in a shepherding community. But in their day and time, you can imagine sheep all over a hillside. Can y'all just imagine that? Sheep all over a hillside somewhere. And they're eating and they're grazing and whatever. But at nighttime, the shepherds didn't leave the sheep out there. Why do you think not? Why would they not leave the sheep all over the countryside during the middle of the night? What do you think? Lions, tigers, and bears. Come on, man. Somebody's going to rip off and steal your sheep. And so what would they do? They would get them all and bring them into a pen. Think about a cave or a place that's kind of walled off. And so they would bring them into that place, and then the shepherd would lay down over the entrance so that the sheep could rest and not worry about the dangers out there. He says, I'm the door of the sheep. They enter through me, and then I lock this door. They know my voice, but they can rest while I protect. Okay? There are some of you, you're so worn out by your schedule. You're so worn out because of what's going on. You're frazzled. You're at the end of your rope. You don't think you can handle any more. And Jesus is saying to you, I am your safe place. Do you understand that the whole part of the whole purpose of the Sabbath was for us to not work one day so that we could trust God could handle it? And the truth is, he's trying to tell you, I handle it every day. Rest in me. Stop trying to control, handle, manipulate. I am the door. Come in and rest. Do you know him as your resting place? I am your rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, safety, and security. And he goes on to say, and I'm also your defender. I'm your defense. Okay, still, same image, shepherd and the sheep. Not only is that, are they safe in there, but he says, if any bad thing comes to get you, I got you. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm not just the door of the sheep, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who's not the owner of the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand. He's not concerned about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Come on, listen to me. There may be people out there who only use you. That's what he's saying about these shepherds. They're not good shepherds. They didn't love the sheep. They loved what the sheep could do for them. And whenever danger came, they're heading for the hills. They're heading for safety. Amen, you're on your own now. And Jesus says to you, there may be people out there who use you and abuse you and who never take care of you, but he says to you right now, I am your good shepherd. And when the wolf comes for you, you need to know I'm going to the wolf. There's nothing that's going to come into your life that doesn't pass through Christ first. He is the defense of your life. He is the good shepherd. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow after me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because my good shepherd has me. Do you know him? Has God become a vending machine? I got to get my P28. Or is God my shepherd, my defender, and I trust you? God, I trust you. You're my good shepherd. And you walk with me through the hardest times. He is the good shepherd. And he's your hope. He says, I am your hope. Remember when Lazarus dies? Right? Y'all know the story, John 11. Lazarus is sick. Good friend of Jesus. Mary Martha sent a message. Hey, Jesus, you got to come. Lazarus is sick. Jesus hangs out for a few days. It's not going to end in death. Shows up. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Y'all remember the story? And when he gets there, Martha is ticked. Come on, you got any Marthas out there? I mean, there are days whenever I'm mad at God. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. You should have been here. You should have done that. Martha's bent. And she says to Jesus, if you'd have been here, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus says, girl, I love you so much. But let me correct your view for a moment. This is what he says in John 11, 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Now, please hear me. He's going to resuscitate Lazarus back to life. But what Jesus is saying in that verse is you got to know there's something more than just life. This is shaping the way I'm praying. It's shaping the way that I'm thinking about the way I pray for people and see things. If God were to offer you the opportunity to have someone physically healed or spiritually healed, which would you take? Don't answer so fast. But when you understand with perspective that Jesus is saying, if I raise him back to life, he's just going to die again. But eternal life is forever. That's what counts. That's what matters. And Jesus says, that's who I am for you. And so my two P28s, listen, I'm praying for healing. I believe he can do it. But even if he doesn't, I'm praying, God, let him know you. Let him know your love. Let him know your grace. Let him know that you're the light. Let him know that you're the hope. I want what I want, and yet I'm saying I know who you are, and I know what really counts. I am your hope, and I am your access to the Father. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, all the disciples were in a wad. That's the only way I know how to say it. Y'all know what it is to be in a wad? Come on, you're worried, man. Your mind's going everywhere. You're freaking out, and Jesus says to him in John 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. He actually says, stop letting it be so stirred up. Believe in God, believe in me. And remember what he goes on to say, I'm going to prepare a place for you, prepare a place, man, I'm gonna come again, bring you to myself. And you know the place where I'm going. And Thomas, honest disciple, he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about, Jesus. I don't know where you're talking about going. How am I gonna know how to get there? And then y'all know what Jesus said, right? John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I think what Jesus is trying to say to them is, listen, that whole eternal life and that hope thing, it starts now. Okay, it starts now. Remember when Clayton King was here a couple of weeks ago and he's talking about how you know that you have Christ in your life, you know that you're going to heaven? Listen, eternal life, John 17, 3 says that they know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That eternal life is for us now. And Jesus says, I'm the way to that life. Most of us want a GPS instruction, right? So we just follow the map and we know where we're going. Jesus says, no, just follow me every day and I'm the truth. In a world where AI is producing all kinds of stuff and you can Photoshop anybody into anything. And people tell you you're crazy for believing and they got science for this and that. Do y'all ever wonder, how do I know what to believe? Anybody out there ever think that? Jesus says, this is what you believe. This is our truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. You anchor in me. Look, there are times when I want to argue with the GPS. Anybody? Oh, Siri, don't know what she's talking about. I got a better plan. Be standing in the woods and compass says that's north. There's no way. There's no way that's north. but it is. And he says, I'm the life. And he doesn't say I'm the biological life. He says, I'm something more than that. And that really touches on the heart of what the heart of prayer is what kind of life are you really building? Because if what you really want is a great biological life, there's a way for that. But if what you really want is satisfaction of your soul and peace in the crazy and calm in the chaos and light in the darkness and peace and rest and defense and hope, then there's only one way for that. And Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am that life. And then he says, and I'm your supply. He says in John chapter 15, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And here's what he's saying to you. Here's what he's saying to you. What God asks of you is simply to stay close. Stay connected. Don't let what happens on Wednesday night when we're getting our worship on, don't let it end in the parking lot. Okay? Don't let your walk with Christ be only when you're at church or only at your quiet time. No, what we're trying to do, even in having this little blue bracelet on, is reminding myself all day, every day, that I want to be connected with God. Why? Because the branch has one job, abide. And if the branch abides, the vine supplies everything it needs to produce the life that the vine intended for it, right? So if you stay connected to God, he promises to give you everything you need to produce the fruit that you need in your life. Now here's what the vine dresser does, the owner of the vineyard. Here's what he does to the branches like you and me. There are two things. Sometimes he has to pick us up because the branch starts to sag and it gets down in the mud and it gets all dirty, and a loving vine dresser will pick up that branch and wash it off and tie it up to the vine to make sure it stays clean. And sometimes that vine dresser will prune that branch. He'll take away what country folk call on a tomato plant suckers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They ain't gonna produce no fruit. They're just gonna suck all the life out of that plant. And there are things in your life, they're just suckers. They're not gonna help you get where you want to go, where God has for you to go. They're just sucking the life out of you, and it's consuming all of your time, energy, and effort. And God says, I may need to prune that. And it hurts, doesn't it? Come on, anybody ever been pruned? I hate it. And yet if God's opening up our hands to make us let go of something, it's because he has something better. And he will supply you with everything you need. Don't be afraid. Don't hold on selfishly. You say, you are my supply. Everything I need, you will give to me. And so if there are things that I need to let go of, God, I want to let go of them so that you can produce in me what you desire. God, if there are places that you need to pick up and clean off in my life and tie up for a season until I'm strong enough, God, do it. But you're my supply. I am whatever you need. And so just for a few moments, can we just spend time talking to I am? Just a few moments. We've been singing to him. We're going to sing to him again in a moment and tell him he's the same God. But right now, could I just lead you back through God's personal name to you? And would you just sit with him in that? And maybe you apply it to your P28. Maybe you just apply it to your life. But could you, with an open heart, isn't that what we said in our first song, God? To you, our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. Tonight, with your heart open to God, would you say to him, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to have personal connection with you. I want to call you my friend, like that song said. I want to know you more than I've ever known you before. I want you, Lord. And so tonight, would you talk to God about being the one who could satisfy your soul. I'm your bread of life. What if what you need is not something more, something new, something shiny, something material? What if what you really are longing for to be satisfied is the bread of life? And so again, whether or not God gets you get your prayer answered, could God get you tonight? Would you just say, Jesus, have all of me, satisfy me. I want you. I was made for you. Maybe you need him to be your light. That's what he says. I'm your light. I am the light of the world. You in a dark place? A dangerous place? He says, look to me. Just like the Israelites had a pillar of fire to lead them, even through the darkest night, you can say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Be my light. Show me the way. Your way, not my way. Could you pray like Moses? God, if you don't go, I don't want to go. Do you need rest? You need peace? He says, I'm the door. I'm the door for the sheep. Come to me and find rest. He says, I'm your good shepherd. And if the devil's after you right now, would you just say, Jesus, I draw near to you. You're my good shepherd. The lions and the wolves are nipping at your heels. Would you just cry out in weakness and say, Jesus, I can't. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Be my shepherd. Be my good shepherd. That's who you are. I claim it. Walk me through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus. Defend me. Come on, this is who he is. God, teach me to know you this way. He says, I'm your hope. I'm your hope. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you live, even when this life is over. And please hear me, y'all. For all of us, this life will one day be over. You gotta have a deeper hope than a bigger house or more money or better looks or more friends. Jesus, be my hope. And in the midst of our prayers, God, for healings and deliverance, God, more than anything, would you make yourself known to our friends, our sons, our daughters, our family, God? Would you make yourself known, God? Holy Spirit, reveal yourself as our hope. God, in the midst of our struggles, you're our hope. And you are our life. The way, the truth, and the life. Maybe you're like me, sometimes you need to confess and say, God, I get caught up chasing the wrong life. Lord, I want your life. I want a life that's full. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but you came that I might have life and have it abundantly and full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, things that I know not of, God, if you're not with me and in me. So God, be my life. And God, be my supply. Come on, would you tell him, Jesus, would you just teach me to abide in you? Not to turn you on and off. Not to walk in and out. Not to come and then go. But to stay. Teach us, Lord, to stay connected to you. You are our vine. You are our supply. And Lord, in those places where you need to pick us up right now and clean us off, God, would you do it? Come on, would you just tell him, God, clean me up. God, pick me up right here. Help me, Jesus. Wash this part of my life right now, Jesus. Cleanse it. Tie me to you, Jesus. Bind me to you, Jesus. Cleanse me. And God, if there are things that you're asking us to let go of in faith, people, plans, possessions, positions, if there are things that he's asking you to let go of in faith, not because they're bad, but they're just not best, would you trust him enough to say, God, I trust you. I trust you, Daddy. I trust you, Daddy. Have your way in me. So, Lord, this is our prayer tonight. We come to you saying, God, we want to know you more. Yahweh, that's your name, Father, your covenant keeper. You're everything that we need. You're the way maker and redeemer, and you're our peace and our provision, God. You're our healing. And tonight, Jesus, we declare that you are God. We declare, Jesus, that you are I am, and you're more than enough for us. And so, Lord, would you teach us to lean into you and all that you are tonight. Satisfy us, light our way, be our peace, defend our lives. You are our hope, God. You are our life. And Jesus, you are our supply. Teach us to abide in you. And God, your word said that if we abide in you and your word abides in us, we could ask for anything and it would be done. So church, would you tell God you're P28 right now? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask me for whatever you wish and I'll do it. So Lord, we lay our requests at your feet, believing that you are enough. You are just enough for this request. And Lord, we lift it up to you in faith and we lift it up to you with surrender to say, God, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, we're asking you for some mighty big things. Many of us are miracles, actually, God, but we believe that you are I am. Come on, would you just tell him that? God, you are I am. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, and Daniel, and Peter, James, John, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Same God, same God. You are still our hope. And so, Lord, we lean into you, and we bless you, and we end where we started, God, praising you, ministering to you, declaring your name, God. Build our faith in you tonight, in Christ's name. We pray. Amen.